Hi, I'm Jess Wodersky, and this is Earth 52. Alright, welcome to Earth 52, Episode 6, The Sandman, Volume 3, Dream Country, written by Neil Gaiman with multiple different artists. For Calliope and A Dream of a Thousand Cats, the artists were Kelly Jones and Malcolm Jones III. The artist for A Midnight Dream was Charles Vess, while the artist for Facade was Colleen Doran and Malcolm Jones III. Alright, let's get started. Well, like all the Sandman trades, this one was excellent. The art was pretty good on each story, but I thought Charles Vess was particularly good. However, the Dream of a Thousand Cats art was good as well, especially when the cat was in the dreamscape. This volume contains one of my favorite stories, A Midsummer's Night Dream. It's also one of my favorite plays, plus it's combined with, you know, Neil Gaiman's Sandman, which just always equals awesomeness. So, I recommend you read the previous volumes before this, just because they're really, really good, and they're excellent, but, you know, they're not really necessary to this one, because they're more like TV episodes, kind of self-contained stories that you really didn't need to know all that much backstory for. The only thing you might need to know is that in Volume 2, Sandman made a deal with Shakespeare, so that's pretty much it. Well, let's start with my favorite story, A Midsummer's Night Dream. So obviously, Sandman made a deal with Shakespeare to write this play, Midsummer's Night Dream, but he also has to write him one more story. So I'm thinking that'll probably be The Tempest, but I'm not sure, and I'm kind of excited to see if they include the next Shakespeare play in a later issue of Sandman. The paleness of Titania's skin makes me wonder if the fairy folk are descendants of the Endless, because they did seem to have, like, a similar skin tone. That kind of made me wonder if they are at all tied to the Endless in bloodlines in any way, shape, or form. So that was interesting. The end of the story was interesting because it makes you wonder if we're going to be seeing Robin Goodfellow any other time in a later issue, because a lot of the times the insignificant details you find in a story oftentimes come back later, especially when you're reading Neil Gaiman. So that's something I'm interested to see, is whether or not we'll see any of these seemingly self-contained stories play out in later issues and storylines in a much bigger and more dramatic way. Yes, I did love the whole tying in of Midsummer's Night Dream and to actual Shakespeare, and to combining history with fiction in an almost plausible way that really made this story excellent for me, especially because the first time I read it a couple of years ago, I was studying Midsummer's Night Dream for school, so that was kind of awesome. The Thousand Cats story was fascinating in its own right, just the concept of dreams shaping the world. It does kind of blow your mind, because usually the world shapes your dreams, but the thought of everyone being able to come together like that to change the world through dreams, it's a very interesting concept, and I kind of hope that also comes back, because it'd be very interesting to see if, like, some cult group gets together and changes the world somehow through dreaming. So we'll see about that. I didn't particularly like the Calliope story or the Facade story. Calliope was not particularly interesting as much as it was disturbing. The most interesting part was when the writer starts spewing random ideas, but other than that, I found the story to be slightly disturbing, to say the least. But it did kind of play on dreams' reaches among other cultures, and you know, the kind of thing that we see usually in the Sandman. The Facade story was all about Lady Metamorpho, for all you Metamorpho fans out there. I've always felt sorry for the Metamorpho characters, because their lives are pretty much ruined as soon as they're exposed to the Orb of Ra. They're kind of screwed, as if you've seen Metamorpho or Lady Metamorpho, you know that they're extremely disfigured. So it was cool to see them confront that aspect in a very modern way, because I've read the Showcase Volume 1 of Metamorpho, And he constantly is complaining about that, but it's more like, ugh, I feel so bad because I'm disfigured. Oh, there's a supervillain, better go fight it. But this showed just how crippling a change like this can be. It was interesting to see Lady Metamorpho, because by that point in time, she had fallen mostly out of use since Metamorpho series had gotten canceled, and she wasn't really in any teams anymore. So it was cool to see Neil Gaiman use a superhero and bring it into his world, because it almost seems like the Vertigo world and the DC universe are separated, but you have to remember that they're actually connected, that everything happens in all together. So I think the last time he really did something with that was in the first volume, Preludes and Nocturnes, where you met up with the Sandman, or not the Sandman, the Scarecrow, and of course the other Sandman. But it was cool to see Lady Metamorpho. Unfortunately, this is an incredibly depressing story, but you did get to see the inner workings of how death works and how merciful she can really be. For all those of you that like the creative process, at the end of this volume is script of Callio. The most interesting thing I found about it was the notes on the side by Neil Gaiman and the artist. It showed that the workplace the writer sits at in Callio is based on Neil's writing area, and that Neil refers to Dream as the Sandman in his scripts. The ads were in the wrong place apparently, and people actually sent him stories based on the ideas in Callio. Like at the end when the writer's spewing the ideas, people actually took those and sent those stories in. So it was cool to see that script, just to see the inner workings of Neil and Callie Jones / Malcolm Jones III. Yes, Neil Gaiman wrote an excellent 4 stories. Some of them are better than others, in my opinion at least, but I'm sure that there are some stories that are favorites among other people. The Sandman series altogether is just an essential read for any comic book fan, so this one, just because it doesn't have any expanding story, and the artist changes continually, I'm going to have to give this one an A-. It still is unique, it is incredible, especially for the time that it came out, and I'm extremely, extremely pleased that I read this. The next episode should be Runways Volume 1 combined with Ex Machina. So we're going to put the two together, and we're going to do a double episode. So, I hope to see you then. If you want to download any of my podcasts, you can go to iTunes and just type in Earth52, or you can go to my blog at earth52.blogspot.com, or you can check out Podomatic and type in Earth52 there. Well, thanks for listening. Bye.